Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
We do want to remember the late Gerry Kiernan, who has sadly passed away at the age of 67. Gerry Kiernan had a remarkable career as an athlete, as a coach, and as a television pundit. As a runner, he finished ninth in the marathon at the 1984 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. He was a two-time winner of the Dublin Marathon. He ran a sub-4-minute mile. He was also a national cross-country champion as well. He coached numerous athletes. Most recently, he was a key part of Ciara McGeehan's ongoing success. And of course, he was a brilliantly informative, engaging and entertaining television pundit across Olympic Games and World Championships in recent decades on RTE. To remember the late Gerry Kiernan, I'm joined by his friend, Eamon Coughlan. Eamon, I think everybody was stopped in their tracks today when they heard this sad news. It really is a very sad day.
Nathan, yeah, stopped in your tracks, that's for sure. I was just gutted when I got a call from my dear friend Des McCormack, who's a teammate of Gerry's out of Clonliffe Harriers, and I couldn't believe it. Shocked. You know, you put yourself in that position, you know, you're able to do your little bits of work, you're at this stage, you're in your mid to late 60s, you think everything is fine, and you hear Gerry's gone, and you go, my God, you know. You just got to take one day at a time. It's a sad day for Gerry, Gerry's family. My condolences to Ursula, his partner, his former wife, his two sons, and all the athletics family. Really, really sad day.
And all the more shocking at such a young age, but because he was such a beacon of life and of energy and of enthusiasm. You see him running around Marley Park over the last few years. He never lost that love for athletics and that love for life.
No, Gerry was Gerry. He was great. Gerry did things his way. From the time he was a young boy growing up in Kerry, he wanted to be a GAA star, and he never became a GAA star. But he found his true love in athletics, and when he got involved in schools athletics, he was one of the best in the country, and then he continued to proceed into the international scene at senior level. And beyond athletics, he just reached out to so many, not hundreds of people, but thousands of people when he, as a teacher in St. Bridget's in Black Rock, and then through, of course, athletics. And he just gave of himself so much. You know, Gerry was an oddball. You know, you didn't know what way to take Gerry at times. Gerry was strongly opinionated. He was controversial. He was so, so smart, such a philosopher, and just a great orator. And a wonderful use of the English language. And I'm really saddened, really saddened.
All those things you talk about, we saw time and time again in his role as a television pundit. When you think back to him as a competitor in the 80s when he was going to Olympic Games and when he was winning Dublin Marathons, I guess you don't get to that level without being an incredible competitor. What was he like as a runner? Because I guess people now do remember him best as that TV pundit, but he had such a successful career before that.
Yeah, well, I've known Gerry, as I say, since we were young teenagers, and we competed against one another. We trained with one another. We spent an awful lot of time with one another outside of athletics. We spent a lot of time working with Bill O'Hurley and RTE, and we were just great friends. Gerry was a very hard worker. He may not have had all the natural talents that I was lucky enough to have, and at the same time, I had to work for it to come out, and it came out perhaps a little bit easier. But Gerry really worked harder than any other athlete I would have known during my era. I might have done 70, 80, 90 miles a week. Gerry was prepared to do 100, 120, 130, 150 miles a week because he had such belief in himself that he wanted to be an Olympian. And his dream came true when he qualified for the marathon in the 1984 Olympic Games, along with Dick Cooper. And coincidentally, John Tracy didn't qualify for the marathon in 1984. And thanks to Al Guy, one of Ireland's great athletics official, he was able to, if you like, get John in through the back door. And little did we know that John would go on and win an Olympic medal that year. But also, little did we know that Gerry Kiernan would be putting it up to him and Carlos Lopez through 20 miles in the marathon. And everybody was saying, gee, maybe the two boys might pull off a medal here. But that was all down to Gerry's really guts, his guts. He believed so much in himself, but he had to work so hard in order to achieve what he achieved. He won numerous national titles. He represented Ireland many, many, many times. And as I say, he was a sub-4-minute miler. He was an all-rounder, but what he learned from his sport, he gave that back to many, many young men and women. Yeah.
It certainly seems that way, listening and seeing a lot of the tributes that have been coming in today from his former students, who you touched upon from his teaching work, and his work with Ciara McGeehan, who she was describing him as a father figure, and how it was breaking her heart when she was leaving Dublin to go to Manchester, not for leaving Dublin, not for leaving her boyfriend, but because she wasn't going to be working with Gerry anymore. And she was making the point that on the outside, he was maybe seen as a hard man, but once you got to know Gerry and once that he was part of that, you were part of that inner circle, he just gave absolutely everything to everyone.
Gerry was a very soft man. He was somewhat strange character, but at the same time, he was a hard worker, as I said, and he wanted to instill those ethics that were required in order to become a champion at the highest level, not just in Ireland, but in the world. He had to work hard. So when he came across some of his young athletes over the years, he realized that these kids thought they were really training hard. And he saw how I trained and how John Tracy had trained and how some of the great athletes in the late 70s and early 80s trained. So he wanted to instill that philosophy of hard work in those people. And as a result of that, people probably criticized him because he wanted to train the athletes beyond what everybody else believed they should be doing. But that was Gerry's way. Whatever Gerry did it his way and he did it well.
And that came through as well, I think, in the television coverage, that he expected a lot from Irish athletes when they went to major championships. And he had a brilliant ability, I think, to contextualize what achievement was once every 2-4 years, when an awful lot of the population might tune into athletics and not really be aware of what's going on. And at times, we may be critical of Irish athletes, and he would have been able to build them up and give a sense of what a big achievement it was. But also, if they fell short of what he expected, he was brutally honest.
Absolutely. He was controversial. And the reason he was controversial, because he knew what he was talking about, number one. And as you say, because he was honest. And there was no point in clapping somebody in the back if they were finishing second last position in the first round of a race or an event, with all respects to them. The fact that they were able to make the Olympics was brilliant success from their perspective. But at the same time, Gerry was demanding more. And if they didn't live up to his expectations, he wasn't afraid to be able to say what he really believed in.
By the sounds of it, Eamon, he leaves you with a huge amount of good memories.
Ah, gosh, yeah. It's just so hard to believe, really. One of your mates, one of the guys, you don't expect to hear it. I haven't seen Gerry since, I suppose, just before the first lockdown came back last March. I would have seen him during the winter. And I thought he actually was a bit shook looking, and he was not moving on his two sticks as well as he used to, because he was running a lot longer in life than I was. But I think he might have been going through a hard time in the last few months or so that we didn't really know about it. And, you know, sometimes people aren't appreciated when they're here, and when they're gone, you really realize
what. Yeah, and he leaves. Yeah. He leaves a big legacy. Yeah. Eamon, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Eamon Coughlin there. Our sympathies to all of Gerry's friends and to his family as well. Eamon Coughlin there paying tribute to the late Gerry Kiernan. You're listening to Off the Ball on this Thursday night. If you want to get in touch, you can text us as always on 53106. We do have live commentary of Liverpool against Burnley coming up. Myself and Brian Kerr will bring you through that. The team news is in from Anfield for Liverpool. It is Alisson in goals. A back four of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Joel Matip is back. Fabinho and Andy Robertson in midfield. It'll be Thiago, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Gini Wijnaldum. And then a front three of Jerdan Shaqiri, Sadio Mane and Divock Origi. So no Mo Salah or Jordan Henderson in the Liverpool starting team. For Burnley, Nick Pope in goals. Their back four is Matt Loughton, James Tarkowski, Ben Mee and Charlie Taylor. In midfield, it'll be Robbie Brady, Ashley Westwood, Josh Brownhill and Dwight McNeil. And as always, it's Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood are the front two for Burnley. So plenty of talking points in that Liverpool team that we will get to with Brian Kerr in just a little while. But first, let's run down through everything else that's happening in sport today. Richie McCormack is with us as well. Evening, Richie.
How are you, Nathan? How are you?
I'm not too bad. As I said, talking to Eamon Cochrane, I think everybody's a little bit shocked by that news that came through today of Gerry Kiernan. He was such a big part of Irish sporting life. Yeah. He added a huge amount with his personality, with his entertaining ways on the television. And yeah, just a little bit taken aback by it.
Yeah, I said it earlier on Twitter today. It feels like the wind was very much sucked out of the day when you heard that Gerry had passed away. He was one of those figures, I don't want to say like wasn't immortal, but when somebody's encapsulated on your TV for as long as he has been, you kind of always figure that they're going to always be there. And he'd been such an integral part to the way RT covered athletics over the course of the last two decades, really, that he'll be missed by the TV audience, and he'll be missed, like much like Eamon mentioned there, the colleagues that surrounded him, be it at UCD, be it at Clonliffe Harriers, or be it in his days on the Ireland team back in the day, because he left such an impression on everybody. Malachy Clerkin had a great line earlier as well. He was just the right kind of cranky that you knew it was coming from a place that he cared. And like his passion for his sport was absolutely infectious. And he like some people, like we can all name names, some people are kind of performatively cranky and they do the whole, you know, shock sports pundit thing. Kieran was just honest and like completely unfiltered, not in a, I'm just telling it like it is, but he was, that's how it was. Gerry Kiernan, whatever he said was absolute gospel because he knew his onions. And yeah, he'll be very, very much missed.
Yeah, he will. And again, the tributes pouring in all day from the president, Michael D. Higgins included. And we'll have a lot more on Gerry Kiernan over the coming days. David Gillick is going to be on OTB AM tomorrow morning from 7:30. And then Kieran McGeehan will be talking to Ger on tomorrow night's show as well. You are listening to the news round on Off the Ball here on News Talk. It's with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. Where are you going to start, Richie?
With Dublin, they're watching players drift away to beat the band. Today, Michael Darren McCauley today announced his retirement from the Dublin football panel. The midfielder, as we know, was named Footballer of the Year in 2013. He won 8 All-Ireland titles during his 12 years on the Dublin panel. The next bit of news, though, a bit of a surprise. We're learning this evening that Paul Mannion has stepped away from the Dublin panel for 2021. Hasn't retired. It's just stepping away, it seems, at the moment. The Kilmacook Crokes forward had been restricted to a substitutes role during last year's championship. Elsewhere, FAI CEO Jonathan Hill says he believes UEFA still intends to go ahead with a 12-city Euro 2020. The Aviva Stadium scheduled to host 4 games, including a second-round match. But Bayern Munich chairman Karl-Heinz Rummenigge recently claimed that UEFA are planning to consolidate the tournament into one country. Hill says a final decision will be made on March the 5th. On a similar note, the International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach says there's no reason whatsoever to believe this summer's Tokyo Games won't go ahead, but he admits there may need to be reduced capacities or indeed no spectators at all. There have been calls to postpone the event again with coronavirus cases again rising in Japan.
It all depends on how long these governing bodies can drag it out before they make a final decision. It seems the end of March for both the Euros and for the Olympics seems to be the final deadline.
Yeah.
The Olympics is, it either happens or it doesn't. The Euros, you would expect, will go ahead in some form, whether it's all in Germany or all in England, and it's your traditional Euros. I know a lot of people at the moment having to make decisions about refunds for their tickets that you can right now, if you want, if you've bought tickets for the games in Dublin, you can take a refund. I think it's up until early next week. But if you don't, and there is the possibility that if the games were moved to Wembley or to Glasgow, that your tickets may still be valid, whether you want to go or not. So it's definitely worth looking into if you have tickets for the games in Dublin, what you're going to do with them over the coming days.
Rory McIlroy leads on the opening day of the Abu Dhabi Golf Championship. The world number 6 shot a blemish-free 8-under par round of 64 today, and he ends the day a shot clear of Tyrrell Hatton. Padraig Harrington opened with a 2-under round of 70 due to a fog-delayed start, would you believe, in the desert. Graham McDowell and Shane Lowry must complete their first rounds tomorrow. They're 1-under and 4-over par, respectively. A triple bogey at the 9th was really Lowry's undoing today. Aston Villa manager Dean Smith has been charged by the Football Association following a sending off in last night's 2-0 Premier League defeat at Manchester City. It's alleged he used abusive or insulting language towards a match official. He's pretty much admitted what he said. Smith, who believes City's first goal should have been ruled out for offside, claimed after the game that he didn't swear, but he did say and he did ask the referee, John Moss, if he'd received juggling balls for Christmas. Quite what he meant by that, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, well, that's, listen, I think anybody who saw what happened could totally understand Dean Smith's position and confusion as to how that goal was allowed to stand.
Yeah. Ireland lost their first one-day international with Afghanistan today by 16 runs, also in Abu Dhabi this one. Chasing a target of 288, Ireland lost their first four batsmen for just 83 runs and ultimately fell just short. Afghanistan collect the 10 World Cup Super League qualifying points and the sides will meet again in the second of three internationals on Sunday. Speaking of Manchester City, their striker Sergio Aguero has confirmed he's tested positive for COVID-19. Aguero posted on Twitter that he'd been self-isolating after being identified as a close contact, but then developed symptoms of his own. He was left out of City's 2-0 Premier League win last night, while he's also set to miss, and probably would have done anyway, let's be honest, Saturday's FA Cup tie at Cheltenham. A joint statement from FIFA and the six football confederations has reiterated that a closed European Super League would not receive support from any of them. It adds that any club or player involved in such a competition would not be allowed to compete in a World Cup, the European Championships, or indeed any tournament organised by FIFA or the regional confederations. The documents signed by the presidents of each organisation, including FIFA's Gianni Infantino and UEFA president Alexander Čeferin.
All right, great stuff as always, Richie. Thanks for that there. Richie running down through the news of the day. Golf Weekly, by the way, Rory McIlroy, great start for him in Abu Dhabi. Golf Weekly is up and available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts. So John Giles coming up in just a moment, and then we'll have full live commentary from 8 o'clock of Liverpool against Burnley. Big team news from Anfield. Joel Matip is back for Liverpool, but no Mo Salah or Roberto Firmino in the starting 11, and Jordan Henderson isn't in the squad. Liverpool without a win in four. They need to turn it around quickly. Live commentary coming away from 8 with Brian Kerr.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.